All right, so let's start with, let's get us going. We'll pray the prayer we've been praying. I don't have the slides up for it today, but Heavenly Father, we just pray for all of us here and those that will be watching the replay of this. We just pray for all of us and our families and friends and those connected to us and our church and governmental leaders. We thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. And we thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We thank you that Jesus was struck down. He was smitten and bruised and pierced and crushed and spit on and disgraced so that we could, our sins could be forgiven. We could have life and we could be connected to you again, Father. And we ask that you, the Father of glory, would bless our time here together and that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that you put in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head for all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes. Expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and all that you want to do in our lives and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And we ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today, this day, what is right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And as we do, stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about this message of turn and be healed, coming on the backside of Purim, of the Feast of Purim, which we just had last week. God began to show me some things about this idea of turning or turn and be healed. And in the Feast of Purim, we're talking about these, the tables were turned. Jesus is the table turner. And so this idea of the tables have been turned, this turning of the yearly cycle is something we'll be touching on a little bit, but also just a turning of ourselves to turn and be healed. But before we get into this turning, I want to touch on some things that we have coming up in the yearly cycle over the month of March here. So we are currently in this 40-day period. We just had Purim last week. And we're in this 40-day period that started on Ash Wednesday. We're in the time of Lent, this 40 days of Lent, leading up to the time of Passover, the time of Easter. And this 40 days, during the time of Lent, people often abstain from things. They might abstain from meat or alcohol or social media or TV or certain things that they feel led to abstain from. Well, in, I believe it's in the book of Exodus, there's a time where it says where God rested on the seventh day. And in some of the versions, it says he abstained from work. And so this time right now, we're getting ready to move into the spring. So think of this as like spring cleanout time. This is a time where we're supposed to be letting go of our old ways. This is, we talk often about the unlearning process. This is a time we're supposed to be letting go of some of our old ways. And that's much of what this turning that we're going to talk about is. This time where we're letting go of the old, so that as we get past Passover on the other side into first fruits and moving toward Pentecost, we've got the capacity freed up for the new things that God wants to do in our lives this year. And so it's this idea of turning away from the old ways of doing things and turning towards God's way of doing things. And so this time right now, the most important thing I believe for us to be cleaning out, the most important thing for us to be abstaining from, is actually learning to rest from our own work. Rest from us doing things our own way. Rest from us turning to our own way of doing things. and to learn to rest from that and to embrace God's ways instead. To learn to rest and to trust and to rely on His power. We talk a lot about God's unlimited, His inexhaustible supply, that in His grace, He's given us access to everything He has, and learning to put our trust in that, learning to rely on that, learning to lean on that. For example, it says, lean not to your own understanding. We're supposed to lean on God's understanding that He's given to us in His grace. And so we've got this time right now. It's this clean out time. So it might be a time physically. Maybe you go in and you start to clean out things in your house. Maybe you're cleaning out room in your house. Maybe in your business, you're cleaning out files. You're cleaning out all the old things to make room for the new. So it may feel like right now, maybe things are kind of piling up. Maybe things are feeling kind of cluttered, maybe overwhelming. Those are these cues that it's time to be cleaning out. And one of the things I've noticed in this time of the year, especially as we get closer and closer to Pentecost, it often feels like time is speeding up a little bit, like time is going by a little faster right now. And these are these cues that we got to be cleaning out. We got to be making room for the new things that God wants to do this year. Now, as we get into Passover is, I believe, on the evening of March 27th, coming up in this month of March. So Passover is on March 27th, I believe, that evening. So Passover is a reminder for us. It's an annual reminder. Think of Passover like a big enhanced communion meal. Like you're taking communion on a whole nother level. Passover is a reminder. We've been released from the darkness. We've been transferred into the light. And we're supposed to be talking about that. We're supposed to be expressing gratitude every day for that. Colossians 1:13 says, giving thanks that you've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light. The word Passover in the Hebrew language is the word Pesach. And Pesach means talking mouth. It's a reminder, this Passover, we're supposed to be talking about where God has brought us from in life. He released us from the darkness. He transferred us into the light. We're supposed to be talking about that transfer, expressing gratitude for that transfer that happened because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So as we take this Passover meal, what is it? It usually has lamb. It usually has unleavened bread, which is like what you take with communion. We usually have either grape juice or red wine, which is just like communion. Jesus is our Passover lamb, so it's a reminder of Him. And they usually have some kind of vegetables. And we have this time where we have a big feast, basically, a big communion feast, where we're remembering God released us from the darkness. He transferred us into the light, and we're supposed to be giving thanks about it. Now, in the Old Testament, God also told the people that when you celebrate the Passover and you begin talking about this, it's going to give you an opportunity to speak into your children or your grandchildren. They're going to ask you, why are we doing this? And it will give you an opportunity to speak into them. I'm doing this because God released me from the darkness. This is where I was in life, and He set me free and transferred me into the light. It's an opportunity to hopefully tell your testimony, to tell the story about what God has done in your life. Think about the Passover story. It's the story of the people, how they got released from bondage, from slavery in Egypt, and God took them from there and brought them to the promised land. And the Passover was the event that made that happen. It was about that transfer of coming out of Egypt. So Passover is something in our house we actually look forward to quite a bit. My kids are already asking me, hey, when is Passover coming? We know it's coming soon. And it's an exciting thing for them. Now, Passover also starts this seven-day period called the 7 days of unleavened bread, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So think about in the springtime, right around Easter as we traditionally know it, we've got three feasts. We've got Passover, we've got unleavened bread, and we've got the Feast of First Fruits. So First Fruits is basically like you would think of is Easter. So First Fruits is just like Easter. So we've got Passover happens first, and then we've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Passover that evening starts those 7 days of unleavened bread. So unleavened bread, the way I celebrate unleavened bread is whatever carbohydrates I was normally eating, if it was bread or potatoes or rice or whatever it is, I buy several boxes of matzah crackers and I eat unleavened bread. It's supposed to be the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're supposed to be feasting on that. I substitute and I eat matzah crackers as my carbohydrates with every meal that I would eat normally. And I substitute that instead. And what is that? That matzah cracker is just like the cracker that we take in communion. Again, this is like an enhanced version. This is the yearly version rather than the daily or weekly version. This is the big picture version. And every meal for 7 days, I'm fixing my mind that Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus is our unleavened bread. And I'm fixing my mind on that. That unleavened bread, the matzah crackers, it has piercings in it. It has stripes on it. Those are reminders. By his stripes, we've been healed. He was pierced. He was crushed. He was bruised for us. And we are righteous with God through him. The biggest reminder in unleavened bread is Jesus is our righteousness. We are right with God. We have access into God's grace, this unlimited, inexhaustible supply because of Jesus' righteousness that was given to us. Also, the unleavened bread was called the bread of affliction. Jesus was afflicted for us. It's also called the bread of poverty. Jesus became poor that we might become rich. There's all kinds of symbolism. And we're able to do something physical in the Passover and the unleavened bread where we can fix our minds on that. And when we combine these spiritual principles with the memory of it and putting it in our mind and imagination and something physical that we actually do, it is very powerful. It is very powerful. And then we have the Feast of First Fruits, which is basically what most people think of as Easter. First Fruits is like Easter. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of many brethren. And it's a reminder that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. He was raised back to life, and he was made new again. It's a reminder that God wants to make all things new. He wants to make our lives new. And God put this treasure on the inside of us. He planted this treasure in our hearts. So just a quick recap. Over this time until we get to Passover, this is a time to be cleaning out. This is a clean out time. And the most important thing to be cleaning out is probably seeking God on ways that we are doing things in our own strength rather than relying and trusting in him. And cleaning those old ways out, those old patterns out, those bad habits, these types of things. And then we have Passover. Reminder, we've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light, and we're supposed to be talking about that, giving gratitude for that consistently. And then we've got the 7 days of unleavened bread to remember Jesus is our righteousness. And that finishes the clean out. And then what is the new thing? God wants to make us new this year. He wants to do something new in our lives this year. And then we have a 7-week sprint after that to the day of Pentecost. And that's a time to run. It's a time of the year where whatever projects God has you working on, whatever goals he set before you, that's a time to run in those things. So let's get into this message a little bit more on turn and be healed. We talked about the tables were turned, the Feast of Purim. The tables were turned. It looked like everything was going against the people, and God turned the tables, and they actually come out on top. Purim was a reminder. God can take the impossible situations that we are in, he can take what looks like a curse and he can turn it into a blessing. So if you're ever in a situation where it looks like you don't have the upper hand, everything is against you, you're getting oppressed in the situation, everything looks like there's no hope, Purim is a reminder. We can fix our eyes on him. God can turn this situation around quickly. Now, as soon as the Feast of Purim was over, some of these scriptures I've got here started to kind of come to life. That I think it was the night of Purim or the next night after that. I was reading through my Bible before bed, and Acts 28:27 just kind of jumped off the page at me that night. And I've been talking every day to people about, hey, the tables have turned. I'm sending out emails. I'm putting posts on social media. We're talking to you guys. Hey, the tables are turning. The tables are turning. The tables are turning. And all of a sudden, I see this verse. And this verse is all throughout Scripture. You'll see it's in Isaiah, it's in Acts, it's in Matthew, it's in John. Its versions of it are in Ezekiel. All throughout Scripture, God says, if they would see with their eyes, they would hear with their ears, they would understand with their heart, they would do those things, and then what? And then turn, I would heal them. They would see with their eyes. But last night we talked about, we're seeing what God's doing in our lives. We're seeing the miracles taking place. In the book of Romans, it says God has made it very clear with what we can see with our eyes in nature and what's around us in nature, that he's real, that it was the work of a designer. And we hear with our ears. We hear things God's speaking to us on the inside. We hear testimonies of what he's done. We hear about Jesus. We hear these things. If we would see with our eyes and hear with our ears, but then we got to move to understanding. When I wrote that book, The Eighth Date, the whole book, the beginning of the book, the first thing we say is, God highlighted this verse to me. He said, though it cost you everything, get understanding. Though it cost you everything you have, get understanding. And I paid, I would say, a fairly high price to understand. And what was it I needed to understand? Grace. Grace in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That was the main message of Jesus. The main message of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven. Repent, repent. Which is what? Repent is to turn around, to change, to do things differently. If we will turn, we will repent, we will change what we're doing and do things a different way, what will happen? We get to the next part of the verse. And I would heal them. And I believe this is not just physical healing, though that's included as well. This is healing in every way. Healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationships, financially, time, whatever it is that you need healing in. We would see with our eyes, fix our minds on God, focus on the light, focus on hearing from him and listening and taking the time to tune into him. And we would understand grace. What is this grace that we're talking about? Understanding that God is continually working for our good. Sometimes we think that God's mad at us and he's turned away from us. We think that he's mad at us for things that we've done or whatever it may be, and that he's turned away from us. In his grace, because of Jesus, God turned toward us. And he won't turn away. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's turned toward us because of what Jesus did. He turned toward us and he will not turn away. But now our role is we got to turn toward him. He's already turned toward us. He's trying to pour out his goodness, his grace, his wisdom, his understanding, his peace, his joy, his health, his time, his finances. But we have to turn. And what is it we got to turn from? Isaiah, I began to seek this. Turn from what? How do we turn? What do we do? And then I came across this verse the very next morning. I was asking that question after I read this. Very next morning, came across this, Isaiah 53:6. And this is right after the passage. It says, Jesus was bruised. Jesus was crushed. He was smitten. He was struck down. It says it pleased God to crush Jesus. It pleased God to crush Jesus. That doesn't make sense. Why would it please him to crush his own son? Because he knew, number one, he was going to come back to life. And number two, it was going to bring all of us to him. But then it says this after that. All of us like sheep have gone astray and turned. There's that word again. Turned. We turned away from God and turned to our own way. All of us have done this. Whoever it is that's watching this video, we've done it. I've done it. We've all turned to our own way. And some of the versions of this verse, I didn't have room to fit all the words on here. Some say we turned to our own path to follow our own way of doing things. And what do we got to do? We got to learn to turn back and to begin implementing God's way of doing things into every area of life. God has ways of doing things spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationships, health, learning God's way of doing things. And this requires letting go of those old ways. A lot of times we want to hang on to what's worked in the past. We want to hang on to what's comfortable, hang on to the way we've always done things. We've got to learn to be able to let go of those things and embrace this new way of living. So 2 Corinthians 3:16, says, whenever we turn, when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. When the veil is removed, what happens? We can see clearly. When we turn to God, there is a veil that is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, with unveiled faces, reflect the Lord's glory. This is a part that I like right here. And are being transformed, not conformed, transformed, not conformed into the world's ways of doing things. We're being transformed into what? Into God's likeness. We're becoming more and more like God as we turn to Him with ever-increasing glory. We talk about God's way is ever-increasing. He's always growing. He's always expanding. There's always another level. When we will turn to the Lord and begin implementing His way of doing things into every area of life, it leads to being transformed, becoming more and more like Him, and it never stops. It's ever-increasing. He's more than enough. We're going to be increasing in this life, and we're going to continue to be increasing, I believe, when we get to heaven. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to learn because we got more. We can never run out of things to learn about God. And then Deuteronomy 23. Balaam, it says, was hired to put a curse on God's people. And it says God turned the curse around and He turned it into a blessing. So the message here is that what is the area of life where maybe you're struggling the most? And I would go through the same thing with my own life. What's the area of life where you have the greatest levels of frustration, stress, worry, lack of peace, lack of joy? What's the area that's pushing your buttons the most? And it's those areas I've found often where we're trying to do things our own way. We're trying to force things to happen in our own way. We're trying to stick to old patterns. And it's learning to let go of those patterns, turn to God and say, all right, what's your way of doing things? And He can say, you rest. You rest, you give it to me, and then you follow my leading and show up the way I'm telling you to show up. Do the things I'm showing you to do. And we turn to His way. And then it's also a reminder, when we're in impossible situations, like we said earlier, that God can turn what looks like a curse and He can turn the whole thing around and you can come out of it better than you went in. Jesus said in this world, be of good cheer. He said, you're going to have trouble in this world. We're going to have issues. We're going to have problems. But to be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. What looks like a problem, God can turn it around and make it into a blessing. We talk about, for you guys that have gone a little further out past the year, past the miracle year stuff, we talk about promised land living. God told the people, the promised land is a land of hills and valleys. There's going to be ups and downs. There's still going to be issues, but we're going to handle those issues in a completely different way, where we rely on God to guide us through those issues, and He will turn them around. And what looks like an issue is actually going to be the thing that actually accelerates you and causes you to come out faster and accelerates your progress faster. When we learn how to handle these issues correctly and rely on Him, we actually come out, every time there's an issue, we actually just come out better. All that happens every time there's a problem, we just come out better and better on the backside of it. Doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. You'll still have them. But you're going to come out of them every single time better than you were, went into them on the other side. It will be ever increasing. And those problems sometimes will be the pressure that He uses to shoot you forward faster. Think of it like you're riding a bike on a land that has ups and downs, mountains. Every time you go down the hill, you're just building up speed to shoot you up the next hill easier. So if we'll learn to do this, we'll learn to clean out those old ways, to let go of our old patterns, the things that aren't serving us anymore, the ways that we've turned to our own way, and we'll turn to God and say, all right, what's your strategy for this? What's your way of thinking about this? What are the steps you would like me to take in this area? How would you like me to think about this area? How can I show up in this area with your grace empowering me rather than me doing it my own strength? and learning to do those things. What happens? If we would turn, then I would heal them. We'll see results. Sometimes I believe that will be instantaneous, the healing. Sometimes it will be over the course of time. Last night we were talking a little bit about how sometimes God uses adversities and things that just aren't good in life as learning lessons. And I agree, yes, we're supposed to learn from those things. And sometimes the things we're going through actually do help other people. But a lot of times I think the times when we don't see an instantaneous healing, I was thinking about this today after we talked last night. The times when we don't see an instantaneous healing, I think the reason why is that if God healed us instantly, we're still stuck in our old way of doing things. And it would just lead us into more pain again. It would just lead us into more problems again. And so the healing is going to take time because he's going to take us through a process to teach us to let go of those old ways and to do things a different way. And so sometimes we create the own problems in our own life because we're trying to do things our own way too. And we lead ourselves into problems. God can still get us out of those, but sometimes he uses a process. He can do it instantly, and sometimes he does, but sometimes he uses this process to teach us his way of doing things and to learn to let go of those other things. So if I had my kids had an issue, I would, number one, want them to get out of the issue, but I also want them to learn how to do things a different way so they don't get into that issue again. And so turning to God, if we're in the situation where we're in the pressure, turn to him, and he can take that pressure and he can turn it around. Sometimes it will be instant. Sometimes it will take some time, but he will always cause you to triumph. If you keep turning to him, putting your faith and your trust in him, he will always cause you to come out on top. He will always cause you to triumph if you keep showing up and you keep showing up in the right way. But I'm going to open this up here, guys, and we can discuss a little bit.